The second parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph that comes to describe to us what is a field. In particular, the pasuk comes and tells us lo techale pe'asat chaliktzor, that you should not finish harvesting off your sadeh. And the concept here is that each sadeh, each field, has a requirement of peah, but you can't take up the peah in one field, even if you double the amount. For a second field, each sada, each field has its own obligation. So obviously, if you have a big wall running in the middle of the field with crops on one side and crops on the other side, that's considered two sadot, that's considered two fields, and there's an obligation of peah on each one of them. But how about if you have other types of dividers in the middle of a field? So the Mishnah comes and tells us, ve'elu mafsikin the peah, there are additional types of things that act as a mechitza, that act as a divider in a field that would separate one field into two. And even though it's you've planted the same crops throughout that field, but if it has this division going up, it is considered two fields. So the Mishnah lists out Hanachal, a stream, Vashlulit, which is an irrigation ditch, V'derech HaYachid, V'derech HaRabim. If you have a private road or a public road being more wider than a private road, or even just Ushfil HaRabim, Ushfil HaYachid, not a road, but a path, which is even less significant than the derech. A derech is much wider, private or public, and now we're talking about just a public or a private path, as long as it's a real path. In other words, it's HaKavua, B'yamos HaChama, B'yamos HaGshamim. It's in use both in the winter months and in the summer months. That's what's required to act as a distinction, as a break, as a mechitza in a given field to cause it to have the status of two separate fields. And continuing, v'habur, which is fallow land. So in other words, somebody planted grain, the same grain, wheat, whatever it may be, on two sides of a strip that he leaves empty, fallow, or that's what habur is, or v'hanir is something that he plowed. Even more so, he didn't just leave it fallow, but he plowed it over, but he didn't plant it. V'zera achar, and in addition, if you have a strip of a different type of crop going through, for example, you planted wheat throughout the field, but you have a strip growing up the middle of zucchini. The wheats on both sides of the zucchini are going to be considered two separate fields, and there's an independent obligation for peah on each of them. Now we're going to discuss in the balance of the Mishnah a different type of separation. This is a type of separation, interestingly, that was made after one field was all planted together. So let's take, for example, we plant a massive field and it's all of wheat. And the hakotzer lashachas, if somebody goes, the owner of the field goes and he cuts a strip right through the field, in the middle of the field, it's because before the produce, let's call it wheat, before the wheat is ready, so it's unripe, or it doesn't have the kernels yet, and he cuts down a strip in the middle to use what he cuts down as fodder. He wants to feed it for his animals, for example. So now what we have the situation is that when the wheat on either side, on both sides of that strip that he already cut down, when that the wheat will ripen, it is two fields now, even though originally it was all one field and he cut it in the middle, but when they become ripe, accordingly, now they're separate fields. So the Tana Kama says as follows, v'hakotzer l'shachas mavsik, if he cuts that strip in the middle before it ripens, then it does act as a mechitza between the two sides. Divi Rebbe Meir, that's the opinion of Rebbe Meir, and each of the sides would be obligated in keah. The Chachamim Omrim Eino Mavsik. Chachamim are of the view that it's not sufficient to simply cut down unripe produce in the middle of the field to cause it to be mechitza. Ela Im Kein Charash, unless he actually goes and plows over that strip at that time before the produce on each of the sides of it become ripe. If he both cuts it down and then he would go and plow over it, that would be a mechitza. The rationale for Chachamim to this, that it's not sufficient to simply cut down the produce, is that we can simply view that as the beginning of the harvesting process. So we took a strip, we started harvesting it earlier than the rest, but still, it doesn't mean that it causes a mechitza. It means that we're simply harvesting some of the field, and the rest will mature when it matures. So according to Chachamim, to have a real mechitza, it's required not only to cut it down when it's not ripe, but also to plow it over. Mishnah Beis continues discussing what obstacles in a field are considered a division, breaking the field into two and obligating us to take peya from each of the separate parts of the field because we have that mechitza in between. And when can we disregard that mechitza and still consider the field to be one? So the Mishnah continues in the concept that we saw towards the beginning of the prior Mishnah. We discussed the shlulit, which was an irrigation ditch. So something very similar, if not the same, in our Mishnah, amas hamayim, she'ena yecholah lihikatzer ka'achas. Now we're talking about an irrigation ditch, some sort of water canal that is running and dividing up the field, that somebody is not able to harvest it all at once. There's a machlokas. What exactly does that mean? Does it mean that if he's standing on one side of the irrigation ditch, he's unable to reach the other side of it in order to harvest the produce that's on the other side? Or does that mean that the person who's trying to harvest is standing in the middle of the irrigation ditch inside the water and he's unable to harvest on both of the sides? If he reaches to the right and he reaches to the left, it's too wide for him to reach both sides if he's standing in the middle. The Mishnah accordingly continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mafsekis. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that this irrigation ditch is wide enough to act as a hefsek to divide up the field into two. There is a machlokas in the poskim. Is Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing with the prior Mishnah? The prior Mishnah, we saw that the shlulis, the irrigation canal, indeed does act as a hefsek. And apparently, even if it's very small, very narrow, it still acts as a mechitza to divide up the field in two. And here Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing and says it really depends. If it's really wide, then it's considered a mechitza. But if it's not very wide, then it's not considered a mechitza, not considered a hefsek. Whereas, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda agreeing with the prior statement, and he's just qualifying it, saying we saw in the prior Mishnah that a shlulis acts as a hefsek. It acts as a mechitza. And now Rabbi Yehuda is simply coming to explain that that is the case when it is wide. And when it's not wide, it would not act as a hefsek. So that's in the machlokas, how to understand these two Mishnayos together. Continuing in this similar concept here, we're talking about when there is a hill in the middle of the field and it's difficult or impossible to plow that field in the normal way. It cannot be plowed with ox drawing a plow because it's too steep, but it can be plowed over by hand. It can be dug with a hoe. So the Mishnah says as follows, V'chol ha'arim asher b'ma'ader ya'aderun, all of the hills that divide up in a field, it divides it in two, there's a hill, but the hill is not so steep that you can't hoe it at all. If you use tools, hand tools, you can do it. Even though the oxen cannot draw the plow in order to hoe the field, in order to plow the field, because it's too steep for them, it's too rocky for them, the Mishnah says, "Who knows and pay a kol?" It would be still included. It would still be considered one aggregated field together, even though it has that mountain in between, because it's not too steep that we can't hoe it at all, and accordingly, only one time would pay a have to be given for the entire field. Mishnah Gimel comes to teach us that everything that we saw in the prior two Mishnayos, which act as a mechitza, those barriers in the middle of the field that act to divide the field in two, that applies when we are talking about the produce of the field. For example, grain and vegetables that this is relevant to. However, when it comes to trees, we have a very different and much more limited definition of what can act as a mechitza to divide a field into two. So the Mishnah says as follows, al kol masi v'gzorim, everything that we mentioned in the prior two Mishnahs act as a break, to break up a field in two when it comes to zraim, when it comes to produce of the field. The eino mafsik le'ilan, when it comes to trees, when we have an orchard, the only thing that acts as a division, ela gader, if we have a physical wall separating the two parts of the field, that is what will be effective in dividing a field into two. But in the absence of a real wall, there would not be a mechitza, and we would only leave peah for the entire field together. However, even if we have a wall between two sides of a field, it's dividing up, it's an orchard, and we have trees. Even if we have a wall, we are sometimes going to disregard that wall. If the branches at the top over the wall are intertwined, not that they're simply touching, but they're intertwined together. So accordingly, because they're really attached, that attaches the two sides of the field. So we disregard the wall. It says, Eino mafsik, the wall would not act as a barrier, and we would take only one peya for the entire orchard. Mishnah Dalet continues discussing when we have trees, when are they aggregated together, and we're going to see that when it comes to carob trees, which had incredibly broad branches, and also when it comes to olive trees, we're going to much more easily aggregate them and consider it one field. And this is going to be the case even if there's a wall between them. We disregard the wall, and we're going to do so even when the branches do not touch. So the Mishnah starts out discussing the carob trees. Ulecharuvin, when it comes to the carob trees, kol haroin zed zeh, as long as somebody standing on one side of a carob tree can see a different carob tree, even at the distance, we are going to aggregate those carob trees together, and you just have to leave one peya for all the carob trees that are combined, as long as you can see from one to the other. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Nohagim Hayu Beis Abba. We were Noeg in my father's house. Nosni Peya Achas Lezeisim Shahayu Lahem Bechol Ruach. In talking about azayis tree, olive trees, and this is as explained by the Bar Tanura, we would divide up the city in four, and anything that was in one segment of the city, in other words, all zeisim, all olive trees that were to the north of the city, would be aggregated together, and you would give one payer for them. And the south, and the east, and the west, in each of the directions, we would nohag to aggregate those trees together. I saw one explanation on this. It's because they would aggregate them together because in each of the quadrants of the city, they would have one olive press. So they would have four olive presses in a city, and the olive press was what aggregated those olive trees together. All the northern trees had one olive press, so they were aggregated together, south, east, west, etc. So the Haruvim continuing, for the Haruvim, kol haroin zetz, and he agrees with the Tanakhama that when it came to the carob tree, as long as you could see from one carob to the next carob tree, that would aggregate the carobs together as well. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer Mishra, we're going to have a different opinion when it comes to the carob tree. So Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok says in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, af lecharuvim, even when it comes to the carob trees, we're going to be even more lenient in aggregating them together. Shayula and Bacholayir, even if you have carob trees throughout an entire city, we are going to aggregate all of the carob trees together in a city and leave only one payoff for all of those carob trees. Mishnah continues giving us some critical information in knowing when we have one aggregated field, so we give only one payoff, and when we have to divide that single field up. The Mishnah will divide this analysis into three. Hazorea esadeyu min echad, somebody who plants in his field the entire same type of produce. For example, the entire thing is wheat. The entire thing is barley. Afar pishu osehu shtei granot, even though he harvests that field at two different times. So he takes half of it, for example, and he reaps and he processes it and he's done and he stores it. And then he goes to the second half of the field. So even though he does it half by half or in thirds, whatever it may be, because it's the same exact produce that is being reaped, that is being grown in that field, no sent peya achas, you only give peya once on the entire field, despite the fact that you're harvesting it in stages. Part number two of the analysis is Ra'ash Neiminim. Same field, but he has planted two different types of produce, two different types of grain, whatever it may be. For example, we'll use wheat and barley this time. He has both wheat and barley planted in the same field. So in this situation, afal pisha asan goren achas, even though the person harvested all at the same time, both types, the wheat and the barley, all done one time together, no senshte peos. He's going to give keyef from each of those two types of grains or those two types of produce. He's going to give it separately because they are separate. This is wheat and this is barley. So even though he harvests and processes it at the same time, he has to leave keyef for the wheat and he has to leave keyef separately for the barley. And number three is going to blend between. The first part of the Mishnah was talking about if he has one mean, one type of produce. The second one part was if he has two separate types of produce, wheat and barley was our example. And the third part is that he has one type of produce, one type of grain, but a variety, different varieties of the same type of grain or produce. So azorea tzadeu shnei minei chitim. Somebody who plants his field, it's all wheat, but it's two varieties of wheat. It doesn't have to be wheat. It can be barley. It can be other things as well. It doesn't matter. The Mishnah is just using this as an example. So in this situation, which is a blend between our first case and our second case, is azorea tzadeu shnei minei chitim, two different types, two different varieties of wheat. Asa'an goren achas, if he harvests it all at the same time, the different varieties of wheat, harvested, processed at the same time, no sin peachas. He just has to leave one peyer for the entire field. However, shtei granos, if he does it in two different shifts, in other words, he harvests one type of wheat and he harvests the other type of wheat, or the barley and the barley, but different varieties at different times, so he's treating it as separately, no saying shtei peyos. In that situation, he's going to have to leave a peyer for each different variety, even though it's the same type of produce or grain. Mishnah Vav is a direct continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we saw at the end of the Mishnah that if somebody plants a field with the same grain, we were talking about chitin, wheat, but plants two varieties of that wheat, when do you treat that as one peah, as one united field, and you give one peah, and when do you treat it as two peahs that you give for each of the varieties? And we said that if the person harvests it all together at the same time, you leave one peah, but if he harvests the different varieties at different times, then you leave a peah for each one. And now we're going to bring a source that this is actually a halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. Mishnah Vav says as follows, Maaseh Shezara Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. So there was an occurrence that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah, he planted his field in exactly this fashion, that he had one variety, it was just wheat, one type of produce, and he planted multiple varieties, let's say two varieties of wheat, and he came and he asked this question in front of Rabbi Gamliel, do I leave one peah or two peahs? Va'alu lishkas hagazis v'shalu, and they went to the lishkas hagazis to ask the Sanhedrin HaGadol at that time. They asked, and Amar Nachum Halavlar, Rabbi Nachum Halavlar responded as follows, Mekubalani mi Rabbi Miyasha, I have a Kabbalah from Rabbi Miyasha, Shekibel Me'aba, who had a Kabbalah from my father, Shekibel mina Zugos, and he had the Kabbalah all the way back to the Zugos. The Zugos are the five sets of the Nasi, the Zug is a pair, so the Nasi and the Av Beistin that governed during the Bayis Sheni after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was the governing body for the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. It's unclear exactly how long it lasted. It's a machlokis, how long the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but then it reverted to having five zugos, five different cares, which was five generations governing Klal Yisrael, ending off with Shammai and Hillel. And so they had the Kabbalah, the zugos had this Kabbalah, and they received that Kabbalah, Shekiblu Mina Nevim. They had that Kabbalah from the Nevim before them. Halacha the Moshe Misinai, that indeed this was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at Harsina Bezorea et Sadeu Shnei Mine Chitin, that if somebody plants his field with two varieties of wheat, so it's wheat, they're both wheat, but they are two varieties of wheat. That's our shaila. Im asan goren achas nosen peachas. If in fact they harvest both of the varieties at the same time, then you leave one peah for the entire field, shtei granos. But if they harvest it at two different times, nosen shtei peahs, they would give a peah for each of the different varieties of the wheat. Mishnah Zayin leverages the pasuk discussing peah in Vayikra. Uvekutzrechem es ketzir atzechem. When you harvest your field, it's talking about when we harvest our fields, then we have a chiyuv to leave the peah likely at the end of the harvesting that we leave some of the crop standing. However, if something else or somebody else does the harvesting against our will, not an employee that we hired or something like that, but against our desires came and did the harvesting, then there would be no chiyuv of peya. So the Mishnah says as follows, Sadeh sheketzarua goyim. Non-Jews came in and they did the ketzira. They harvested the whole field. Ketzarua listim. Bandits, robbers came and they took all the produce. They did the harvesting in the field to take it for themselves. Kirsamua nemalim. Or we have ants, other rodents, vermin, whatever it is that eats away at the standing crops from the bottom, and they are all detached now, so it's been harvested. Shvarata haruach or behema, or if we have a strong wind that came and detached all the crops, or an animal came and ate from the bottom of it and detached everything. In all these situations, this is not considered uvekutz rechem, that we harvest ourselves, something else harvested it. Accordingly, ptura, we are putter from the mitzvah of peah. Next, the Mishnah continues, how about if half and half? Katzar chetzi, if the Jew did, the owner of the field did half of it, half of the field was harvested, and thereafter, the katzru listim chetzi, robbers, or the same thing would apply, non-Jews, or the ants, or the ruach, or the wind, or the animal came and cut off the rest of it, the balance of it, ptura. And similarly to the Reisha, the Jewish owner of the field is not obligated to do the mitzvah of peah. Why? Shechovas ha-peah bekama, because the obligation of the peah continues in what is standing. In other words, the second half is where there was the chiyuv continuing. There's a chiyuv on the field to take peah, and that obligation continued in what was still standing after the Jew harvested the first half, and something else out of his control came and took away that obligation because something else harvested the rest of the field. So he had the obligation, but that was taken away. Even if we would say less than half, apparently, of the field, but it was done at the end against his will, this is no longer considered ubekutz rechem. He's not doing the ketzira, he's not doing the harvesting, something else is, and there would be no chiyuv or mitzvah of peah anymore at that point. Mishnah Ches is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, but in reverse, in this situation, Kitzarua listim chetzia, the first half was cut by the bandits or the wind or the ants, but Katzar hu chetzia, and thereafter the owner of the field harvested the balance of the field. In this situation, nosen peya mimashe katzar, the owner of the field who harvested half has to give peya, but only of the amount that he harvested himself. In other words, as we discussed at the beginning of the parak, even though on a deoraisa level, and there's no shiur for peya, but Chazal instituted a minimum of 1/60th should be given. Accordingly, here in our situation that the person harvested the second half of the field, he has to give 1/60th, but only of what he harvested, not the first half that was harvested against his will. And now we're going to continue discussing a couple of other scenarios where we had one field, one crop, one field, but the first half and the second half were harvested in different fashions. The first goes as follows, Katzar chetzia umachar chetzia. We have the owner who harvested the first half of the field, and then he sold the second half of the field with the crop standing. It hadn't been harvested yet. In that situation, halokeach nosen peah lakol, the purchaser has to give peah for not only the half that he's going to be harvesting, but also for the first half. This is one aggregated field. There's only one chiyuv of peah, and that is going to be in the second half of the field. And the purchaser, when he bought it, he spent a certain amount. He should have known, or he did know, that he would have to give peah for the entire field because his chiyuv is coming second. Accordingly, when he paid for the value of the produce in the second half less the peah that he'd have to give, and not only the peah on his half, but for the first half as well. Continuing the same concept, katzar chetzia, somebody came and he harvested the first half of the field, v'hikdish chetzia, and then he was makdish, he consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash the second half, while the crops are still intact, attached to the field, hapode miyaragizbar, somebody who comes and redeems that second half of the field from the official in the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to go and harvest that second half of the field. He is the one who knows Saint Peah LaKol. He would have to get Peah for the entire field when he's buying that second half out of from the Beis HaMikdash. He understands that, or he should have understood it, that he was paying not only for his half of the Peah, in other words, he's paying the value of the field or the produce, less the Peah obligation on his half, and also the Peah obligation on the first half, because he sees this is one aggregated field, there's one chiyuv of Peah on the second person to harvest.